Scripture reading today is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the NIV. The incarnation of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete, light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 6.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that reading. Glad to have you. If you're a visitor today, we hope that you'll fill out a card. We can acknowledge your presence. We are blessed by God to be alive. Thank you for your great giving to the mission trip that I plan to take next month. And you always have been very generous, very giving, and thank you for that. Now, others have been given before that amount last week and since that amount, so thank you for your giving. What a great job Sean did last week, and again, you participated with that, not only by giving, but by prayer, and encourage you to remember that we are a priesthood of all believers. We don't have a clergy-laity system where there's a preacher and he has one set of rules, or the laity, the congregation, has a different set of rules. We're here to serve the Lord and all of us. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And in that context, this congregation will grow because a missionary doesn't cross the sea, but sees the cross. It's amazing to me that we will go around the world, but will not go across the street. We'll get on a mission trip and go places, but will not speak to members of our own family. Jimmy Allen tells the story in Arkansas as he's holding a meeting if there are any people who weren't baptized. And they told of a lady who was not baptized. And they said, well, have you studied with her? She said, well, no, we've never talked to her about it. So Jimmy, as he tells the story, went to visit her. And she already had the clothes ready. She'd been waiting for weeks. No one had reached out to her to teach. There are people all around us who need God, who need Christ, who are on the path to life and death. And know that there's more to life than just how they're living by their passions. This is a follow-up sermon from last week, 1 John chapter 5, A Sin Unto Death. A missionary doesn't cross the sea but sees the cross. In today's lesson, the important point is, are you facing the cross? Are you facing the world? The big picture and the big direction of your life. Because as we read this as human beings, as Christians, sometimes as new Christians, we read this and we know, being honest, we know we're sinners. Our first slide, we'll get to the others later, is a handout on the back table. It's been out there. I put it out there on July 4th. And this is the story, and the handout gives more details of that slide, that the people who pledged their sacred honor, their fortunes, and their lives, and they suffered, but none of them gave up their honor and went to the other side. Our freedom as a country isn't free, and there are people trying to rewrite that story. But we're talking today about freedom in Christ, and that also is paid in blood. And we need to understand the price that God paid, that God is very, very smart, that God knew that we had a sin problem, and he did something about it and put that plan into action so that we could be forgiven of our sins, cleansed of our sins. And in that context, the direction you're going is more important than where you're at. I watched this week a little old show. I like the old shows now. I hadn't seen them before. So I was watching a little house, old house, whatever it is, Little House on the Prairie, whatever it's called. I don't know. There's a tough man. You know, he's tough and he's hurt and he's never been a sick day in his life. And he fell off the roof or something. I forget exactly what it was. The doctor was coming by to see his wife. His wife was pregnant. And you ought to have the doctor look at. No, I'm fine. I've never been sick. And well, the doctor said, I'll be glad to look at. No, I'm tough. Well, of course, he died the next day. And we're tough. We're independent. We don't need anybody and we don't need nothing. Well, spiritually, people do this. I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to make sure that I do what I think needs to be done. I got to make a little rearrangement here. Got to throw my papers in here. Got to have something to put them in, right? Sorry. Technical difficulties. Hold on. I'm going to do this myself. I don't need to. Listen, we need to go to the great physician. Don't be your own spiritual doctor. Don't be your own physical doctor either, but more importantly, don't be your own spiritual doctor. Go to Christ. Because I'm talking to people, and many times, Christians and non-Christians, and they come up with their own ideas about their life. Many times they're wrong. I wrote with a brother by technology, and technology is wonderful. But I wrote this morning about technology, about something that's been bothering him for a long time. And that's the way we are as people. And I'm talking to the church today. I'm talking to Christians. Now, there are applications to other people. But we're talking to church. And that's where John is writing to Christians. 1 John. And the context is, he's going to state several things that are basic principles about a relationship with God. But the context is, there are people called the Gnostics. The Gnostics, the Greek word to know means gnosis. And these people believe things like, well, your body when you sneeze is just a normal reaction. And when you eat, because it's a normal bodily function. And when you have sex or when you lie, that's just a normal bodily function. That's not wrong. That's just amoral. And there's nothing sinful about it. And they're called the Gnostics. In fact, they believed such things as there was a good God and he created the devil, the bad God, and he created Jesus who was not God and is a bad God. And it's got all kinds of twists and turns to it, but it says you come to salvation by knowledge, by knowing. And these people felt they were elite. We have the special knowledge, and therefore we are the in group. Now, I'm not talking about government. It's a whole other discussion. You know, it's not about Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. It's about elite and others. But this is religiously. They thought they were the religious elite, that they knew everything and they were saved by their knowledge. That Jesus is not the Messiah. That Jesus didn't have a body. He was there, but he wasn't. And it's, I can't explain it, but he was there, but he didn't have a body. And so that the body's evil. And, you know, and so we're not responsible for what our body does. That's not true. See, these are human beings reasoning with their own thought, their own ideas, and their own physical things, being a doctor, how to save yourself. Well, that's not wrong. Really? How do you know? What does the Bible say? We often, too often, judge ourselves if something's wrong or right by how we feel and what we think. Don't believe everything you think. Run it through your Bible. What does God say in His Word? And so we won't look at it today, but 1 John chapter 4 talks about Christians who are right with God, but in their heart they condemn themselves, and he tells you how to set your heart at rest when you condemn yourself. First he said, God is greater than your heart. Your heart is not the judge. My heart is not the judge. We're not the judges. Boy, we do a lot of judging, but we're not the judge. And in that context, the big picture is, John is going to say Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And he's got several pillars he's going to talk about. And he says, anybody who doesn't acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh is the Antichrist. Now, he's not in Revelation. Our Wednesday study about Revelation is coming to a close. We're looking at Amos after that. But the word Antichrist doesn't even occur in Revelation. And yet you hear all these Bible verses and all these books that are sold about the Antichrist fighting China, Russia, whoever is telling the story. John writes, and there's a handout again on the back table, of the five times the word Antichrist occurs in the Bible. And they're all written by John. Well, John did write Revelation. But the first one says, dear children, this is the last hour. 1 John 2:18-19.
Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. He goes on to describe anyone who denies that Jesus came in the flesh is the Antichrist. So John is dealing with false teachers, and he calls them that. And they have this idea that Jesus is not the Messiah. That sin is, whatever your body does, is not sin. And so in this context, John gives the first pillar of 1 John. 1 John 1, 3 to 9, no one born of God will continue to sin because God's sin remains in him. The big picture is John is saying there's a morality basis of our relationship with God. Now you read that, and if you don't look at the historical context, you don't see what John is talking about in the book, you'll say, well, I'm a sinner. And anyone who continues to sin is not born of God. And born of God is a theme throughout the book we won't look at today, but that's very important as well. I'm a sinner, so I must not be a Christian. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about present tense living and walking in the direction away from the cross toward the devil. Continually living in sin. He's not saying that Christians don't sin. He'll cover that today in chapter 1. He's saying you are not with your face going to say, I'm going to live however I want. I don't care what God says. I'm going to live by my passions, my desires, my thoughts, and my ideas. That's continuing to live in sin. Step number one, pillar number one, is there's morality. It's present, active, living wickedly. The big picture is John is saying there's a moral standard. That's what he's saying. There is a moral standard, and the moral standard's not me, it's not you, it's God. Too often we look at other people and say, well, you know, I'm better than they are, they're better than us, I'm better than he, or whatever, either way, that's not right. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No one comes to the Christ. No one comes to the cross because they're so good, because they have their life so together, because there's no sin in their life. There's only one who was sinless. And they crucified him as a sacrifice to die for the sins of the whole world. And so there's a morality standard, and no one has kept it. No one is keeping it now, not even Christians. But the blood of Christ washes their sins away. And that's what John is going to talk about. The big picture is, and he uses a lot of illustrations, light, darkness, walk. We walk with God. The Gnostics say, well, sin is no big deal. John is saying walking with God requires following God's commands, not our feelings, not just what we want to do. A Christian tries to obey God, but he's not perfect. His heart wants to. Before I was a Christian, it didn't bother me that I was a sinner. Now that I became a Christian, I'm buried with Christ, brought into union with Christ, I come out of the baptismal waters, and now I've tried to please God. Now my sins bother me. Why? Because I want to be what he wants me to be. But I fall short every day, every hour of every day. What do I do with that? Well, John helps us to see. But the big picture is there's a moral standard. And we'll see this morning, I hope, in chapter 1. But the blood of Christ cleanses sinners. Not knowledge. Not being one of the elite. The blood of Christ. Again, they are false teachers. Pillar number two, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Pillar number two is knowledge is not supreme. Love is. And John will talk throughout this book about loving God, loving your neighbor. Love is supreme. To be born of God, again, and you'll see this over and over again. Pillar number three is 1 John 5 and verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. You know, you might read that if you didn't know the background. I said, well, everyone that believes that Jesus, the Son of God, is the Christ, is born of God. Well, who wouldn't believe that? Well, there were people in the first century, Gnostics, that believed that. What is John saying for pillar number three? Pillar number three is faith. We must have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. In Greek, you have to put your faith into someone. And so here we see, as we talk many times about how one comes to Christ. You hear the word of God, you must believe the word of God. That's faith. You must repent of your sins, turn away from sins by the command of God, turning away from sin and turning toward God, confessing Christ, being buried in baptism with Christ, faith, doing what God said to do, believing God will do what he promised, forgive our sins, and we come up out of the water and we're forgiven of our sins. And we know that. But we're saying today that the power of Christ's blood did not stop at the baptistry, but it is with us every day. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. John, dealing with Gnosticism, starts off this way. That which we have, that was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at with our hands and touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we've seen it, testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make our joy complete. John goes all the way back to the beginning and says, Christ was there at creation. The Father was there at creation. And here, Christ has become a human being. He says, we saw him. We touched him. We ate with him. And John is saying his testimony, Christ was fully God and fully human. He had a body. He did live, and I touched him, John says. That's primary evidence. John saw him, and he's testifying that. We believe it's called secondary evidence, which is we believe based on his testimony. That's faith. It's fine. Again, in this context, 1 John 5. This is the message we've heard from him. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. There's the standard. You've heard me say before, the Greek is even more emphatic. There's not even one bit, one shade, or one spot of darkness. God is the moral standard. He is perfect. He is holy. He is sinless. And we are not. But God knows we have a sin problem. So God has provided a way for our sins to be cleansed. Quoting by Paul in Romans chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not count against him. There's a relationship with God where our sins are constantly cleansed. We talked last week about a bolt of cloth. I bring you a bolt of cloth and I bring you a yardstick. And you are to cut off at 1 yard, cut that cloth in a yard sections. Depending on who it is, and certainly not mine would be the worst. Depending on who it is, that line will not be perfect and not be, some will be straighter than others. But you're not going to do a perfect cut. Okay? We're sinners. We fall short of the standard. There in that context, we have feelings about that. You might feel embarrassed about your cuts. You might be prideful of how somebody else does a good cut. Our feelings are not our guide for salvation. We're looking at salvation, it's neither our culture or the world or Washington or politicians or anything else other than the Word of God. God is the standard. And there, God's plan is found in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God, before he made Adam and Eve, before the creation of the world, knew he was going to have to send his Son to die for our sins. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And here's how that transaction takes place, as Paul talks about propitiation. Christ is sinless. He doesn't deserve to die, but he dies as a sacrifice, like all those Old Testament lambs would die. And God takes his perfect righteousness and gives it to us, Hebrews 2, 10 to 11. It takes our sins and put them on him. It's the only way a person can become righteous. You can't sing enough songs, give enough money, do enough Lord's Supper to earn payment for one sin, let alone all of your sins or all of mine. And so God is the standard. Now we go to 1 John 5, 1, 5, 6, and 7. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, you see, we can have fellowship with God. If we claim to have fellowship with God, yet walk in darkness, that's walking away from the cross, walking and living like the world. The big picture. Not are you less than perfect. Where are you facing? If we claim to walk in him, walk to him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I've said it before, let me illustrate it. We're walking today to Mesa. We start walking, you and I, and we walk about 3 blocks, and I fall down. And I get back up, and I'm still walking. I fell down, but I'm walking to Mesa. I fall another block, and I fall down. And he said, come on, Keith. Well, I get up again. You fall down. You fall down, you stay down. You don't get back up. Who is walking to Mesa now? My favorite verse, Proverbs 24:16. A righteous man falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked fall to calamity. The difference in the wicked and the righteous is the righteous get back up and keep going. The wicked fall down, don't give up, don't care to get up, don't want to get up, I don't know. And I don't think he just means 7. It's a Hebrew way of saying over and over again. We're going to stumble. James, the brother of the Lord, said we all stumble in many ways. But are we going to get back up and walk toward the Lord? Literally with our lives, not literally walking. You see, a false teacher is saying you can have fellowship with God and do whatever your body does is okay. John says no. That's walking in darkness. Walking in light is a direction. The key is not how well we walk, but the direction we're walking. Are you pleased with how well you're walking in the Lord? Probably most of us are not. We say to ourselves, I should be doing better. I can do better. I will do better. But that's not the basis of salvation. That's inner conviction that I need to be more of a better Christian. John says if we confess our sins, a concept here that came from God. He's writing to Christians. He doesn't say, go get baptized again. If that's what he said, we'd go do it. He says, confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Just like the command you received to become a Christian, to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, as he told Paul in Acts 16. We're told to confess our sins, and God is faithful and just. You don't hear much about justice. God is just to forgive us of our sins. Why? Because Christ's death paid for our sins in full. And we were brought into union with him. That's an agreement that God made to pay for our sins through his suffering and wash us clean in his blood. God makes the rules. God makes the boundaries and the parameters. And he tells us this is how you're cleansed after you become a Christian. You confess your sins. And I believe in being specific. You've heard me say it many times. But the truth here, this is a noun, that we are sinners. See, that's what John's dealing with. People who are saying, I'm not a sinner. This is just my body. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, it does. And so here he says we can have fellowship with God and be less than perfect. And God has provided a way to cleanse our sins away. I'm talking to the church here. Because our sins bother us. And maybe that's a good thing. Because we know what God wants us to be. And maybe that can be inner conviction to say, I need to do better. I will do better. I'm going to try. But literally, I don't care how old you are, you will never get to the point, or you shouldn't, to say, I've arrived. I know. No, that's dangerous. We need God. We need cleansing. We need Christ. And here, John is saying, if we confess our sins, you can trust him. False teachers are saying, you can lie, sleep around, cheat. That's not sin. That's what John is dealing with. And Gnosticism grew as a false teaching. Key points, we're sinners. God has provided a way to cleanse us for our sins. We can have fellowship with our Creator, and God's plan is the blood of Christ to cleanse us of our sins. Now, you don't have to understand that for that to work. We have a marvelous sound video system. You don't have to understand that for that to work. Now, sometimes it's program error. I forgot today to put the title in. I forgot to put the reading in there. That's human error. Sorry, got your attention. Now, you don't have to understand your car for you to drive it. There's a lot of things you do that you don't understand, but they work. You don't have to completely understand, and it's great to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord to learn more about this. You don't have to understand the cleansing that's available from God to Christians for it to happen. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk has direction, destiny. You're going somewhere. It's progression. Sometimes the progression is three steps forward, two steps backward. Which direction are you going? It's a struggle. Verse 8, these false teachers say, there's no such thing as sin. John writes, like our culture today, they say homosexual, lesbianism, adultery, lying, stealing, cheating, it's not sin. Same point. He says in verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, that's what we need, truth. The truth comes from God. Certainly not from Washington, certainly not from the culture, certainly not from the world. From God, in whom there is not even a shadow of darkness. God is true. We are in a guerrilla war with sin. Maybe we became a Christian, thought it would be a 100-yard dash, and you know, you the great enthusiasm of being a new Christian, and you're feeling great, doing well, and then Satan comes along and slams you. And you're like, I turn my back against sin, and Satan's going to let you go for a little while. And Satan's going to try to kill you and me. Satan's goal is to destroy your soul salvation. He will do anything, including the Bible says he's a liar, lie to you to get you to walk away from God. He will lie to you and say, you're not forgiven. He will lie to you and say, God wouldn't forgive you. God couldn't love you. Look what you did. If God found out about that, he's a liar. Paul says we're not aware of his schemes. We're in a guerrilla war against him. The elite are not saved by their knowledge. That God only loves those who are perfect in knowledge and behavior. That's not the gospel. The gospel in Romans 5 is while we were sinners, while we were powerless, while we were without hope, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for his enemies. You see, it's amazing grace. Who does that? Who dies for those who are spitting on him, crucifying him, mocking him? And he says, Father, forgive them. There you see divine love, the love that God has for us. In verse 9 and 10, John goes on. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Again, God is just. He will do what's right. We don't always do what's right, but God does. And the topic here is forgiveness. God will keep his word that he will forgive us if we do what he said. And that's where faith comes in. Believing, you know definition of faith, Romans 10, 17. I like to say faith is believing God will do what God promised to do. And here, God promised to forgive us. Now, you may not be able to forget your sin, but God will treat you as if you didn't do it. You want me to explain that to you? I don't have time. I'm sorry. Anyway, we don't understand that because that's not the way we are. But that's how God is. When Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I think he remembers it. But he's saying it's in the rearview mirror. It's not the front windshield. It's not dominating my life every day so that I just can't get past it. I think Paul remembered all the things he did. But he said, I strive forward to meet Christ and obtain the resurrection of the dead. Confession is, God, you're right and I'm wrong, and your ways are right and I didn't live up to it. It's very simple, and being honest with God and ourselves and others. As we walk in the cross, toward the cross, several things will happen. We will learn how to be holy. We will learn how righteous and holy God is, and how unrighteous and unholy we are. It can't happen any other way. The closer you get to the cross, the more you see how godly and righteous he is and how ungodly we are. But it's the power of the blood that God washes our sins away. Second, as we see how sinful and unrighteous we are, we still need faith. God can do what God promised to do. That God loved us when we were sinners. Before we weren't even interested in him, Christ died for us. And third, let that draw us to him, his love, and also be thankful that God loves you. deepen your appreciation and learn of the love of God and the grace of God. And the, remember, number four, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The cleansing I need is the cleansing you need. There's no two-tier system for me and you. Every human being needs the same cleansing. So we have fellowship with God, the Creator. That's something to think about. And that makes fellowship with each other. I have a brother, had a sister. We had the same father, and therefore we're brother and sister. Last, number five, either Jesus pays for our sin, or we will. There's no other plan that works. If people try to work their way to heaven by being good enough, by being good moral people, there are a lot of good moral people. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 was a wonderful man. Honest, zealous, but it wasn't enough. There were people like Paul who were dead wrong, and God gave them the chance to turn their life around. The point, John writes in chapter 2, verse 1, "My dear children, I write this so that you will not sin." That's why he wrote it, so we won't sin. "But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I appreciate the emphasis on the prayer list, but this verse says Jesus is pleading our case to the Father in our behalf. Don't you feel better when you ask other people to pray with you and pray for you? Here, Jesus, and he's talking about salvation here. He's not only our sacrifice, he's the one mediating us between God and him, and us, to help us in our relationship. It's a stack deck in our favor. Again, 1 John 5:1, one of the pillars is faith in Jesus. That means we come to Christ, we walk in faith. Sometimes we come to Christ, we encourage people to, we talk, it's hand out on the back table, how to come to Christ. Again, we have a lot of different handouts. I encourage you to get one. If you don't know today what I'm talking about, you're new here, and in that context, you're not sure, take a handout. Take your Bible. Read it. Run it through your Bible. Don't believe it because I said it. Don't believe it because you heard it on TV or some other place. What did Jesus Christ say who died on the cross? He gave his life and his blood to save us from our sins. He's going to communicate how to get that blood. He's going to make it plain how to be forgiven. So as we try to speak to people about coming to Christ, I'm talking to the church now, and we try to say, walk by faith. Believe God. God can forgive you. People usually say, well, you know, the roof will cave in if I come to church, or it's like God doesn't know. God knows. But I think that, to me, that statement is, if I come to church, the roof will cave in, I'm a sinner. And I'm a big sinner. And they know that. They're convicted of that. But the gospel is that Christ died for sinners. We come to Christ by faith, but as the church, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm afraid we get into the church walking by faith, and now we want to walk by sight. We still need to walk by faith. We'll talk more about that next week. Faith is believing God will do what God said he would do. Again, this slide, freedom is paid in blood. It didn't just accidentally happen in our country. Freedom in Christ didn't accidentally happen. It was paid by the blood of Christ and the plan of God and the determinate counsel of God before he ever made Adam and Eve. Think about the benefits today if someone would walk by faith and come to Christ. We're talking to the church to believe in the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. How good is the blood of Christ? Well, our next slide really says that. Can you imagine? Now, this is what the gospel is all about. The people Paul put to death, welcoming him as a brother or sister to heaven. That's the gospel. Paul says plainly, I was persecuting the church. I tried to get people to blaspheme and say, Jesus is not Lord. He gave his consent when Stephen was killed. He's going to kill Stephen, I'll hold your coat. But God was willing to let Saul, be forgiven and go to heaven. Paul says, if God can forgive me, he can forgive anybody. This is the gospel. And our last statement is a statement of faith. Jesus says, and Christians, again, we need to walk by faith. I'm sorry, I have trouble with this. The faith here is We talked on Wednesday night. Here's what you see with your eyes. Walking by faith is not what we see with our eyes. And we go and we see someone die. This slide says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth in me shall never die. What does he say? It's the same kind of language as Revelation. It's deeper than the surface. It says we watch somebody with our eyes die. But the Word of God says they're still alive. Don't trust what you see with your eyes. Trust what you hear and read in the Word of God. And many of us are here today who've lost loved ones, and we rest on the Word of God that they're alive and that there is life beyond the grave. So we need faith. The same faith we talked about cleansing. Believing God can cleanse us of our sins. I know you and I know me and a little bit. I know me better than I know you. And I know I'm a big sinner. But the word of God says Christ can completely save those who come to him. That's the God we serve. This is why we have an invitation at every service, because we want people to be right with God. Perhaps today this has stirred some things and you want to study your Bible, get a handout, or ask some questions of somebody. Maybe ask somebody who brought you, invited you. What is he talking about? How can I get this grace? Maybe today you need to just read your Bible and believe what the Bible says about forgiveness. Joe Barnett tells a story of going out to visit a woman. You've heard me tell it before. And he went out to see her and she confessed her sins. And Brother Joe, would you just pray with me right now? He said, no, I won't. Pretty bad when your preacher won't pray with you. He said, if you remember this time last year, I was out here and you confessed those same sins and we prayed. And if I bring it up in prayer right now, I don't think God will know what we're talking about. God forgives and forgets. I wish I could forget like God does, but he does. The invitation is yours and mine to come to the great physician. Don't try to save your own soul. Don't try to be your own spiritual doctor. Come to Christ. If you need to come to him today.